if you go back to the middle of the Great Depression, that's when I was born, in 1934. Here in Washera County, which is in the central part of the state, we had one of those terminal moraine farms where the glacier stopped. Oh my gosh, it was stony. It was sandy and it was hilly. And as my dad said in the spring, when we every April picked stones day after day, if nothing else grows on this place, if nothing else ever comes up, we can depend on our crop of stones. Our farm was 160 acres, quarter section, which was common in those days. There were 80 acres on each side of a country road, gravel, mostly dirt country road. And our farmhouse was a big house. Many of the old farmhouses looked quite spacious, and they were. We had no indoor plumbing. We had no electricity. And that old house was the coldest place you could imagine because it was not insulated. People didn't know about insulation. But I have fond memories of the place. There were two doors into the house. Everyone came in the kitchen door, and there was a little porch around in the back. There was also a front door which led into the parlor. And we knew immediately when someone came to the house if they knew or did not know about country people. If they were a salesperson out of the city, they would stumble up toward the front door. The front door wouldn't even open. You could not get the front door open. It was nailed shut. Anybody who knew farmers knew that you came around to the kitchen door on the porch and you rapped on the kitchen door and you were greeted by Fanny, our old farm dog who would bark two or three times, scare the bejeebers out of these city salespeople who didn't understand farm dogs either, because the farm dog, I suspect it was a guard dog of some fashion, but this big collie dog was as friendly as could be. And she was mostly announcing someone's coming. And I can remember my mother being so put out with a salesperson who wouldn't get out of the car because the dog was standing there barking and she just let him sit there. The kitchens on these old farmhouses were enormous. They were huge. It was bigger than the dining room, larger than the parlor. We never used the parlor. The parlor was for the city relatives. It's the kitchen where everything happened. The big kitchen table, wooden table with an oilcloth on it and a lamp, kerosene lamp in the middle. That was the center of all activity on our farm. My dad had his place at the head of the table. My mother on the opposite end of the table. I have twin brothers. And they sat on one side, and I sat on the other. We never varied. We sat in those same places all the time. Just like the cows in the barn always stood in the same stall. We had our stalls. So breakfast, dinner, and supper all gathered around the kitchen table. The kitchen table is where all of the decisions about the farm were made as well. What sorts of seeds should we buy for the garden this year? How are the cows doing? My mother kept all of the records. In the wintertime, that was a nice warm place because the kitchen stove, the oven door was open. My mother was always baking bread, and the smell of fresh bread is something that I've never forgotten. Now, in the dining room was our telephone. We didn't have electricity, but we also had a telephone. It's a party line telephone. It had a ringer-dinger on this side, and it had a listener on that side, and you had an ear and a mouthpiece in the front. And when you spoke into it, you knew very well that beyond the person that you were talking to, there were probably 10, 15 other people also listening in. In addition to it being our connection to the outside world, it was our safety net. Because in those days, there were no EMTs. The fire truck would not leave the village of Wild Rose, which was our nearest town, 4.5 miles away. And so farmers were on their own. If there was a fire, the wind blew over your barn, somebody was gored by a bull or whatever accident might have happened, you got on the phone and you rang what was called a general ring. And a general ring was ding, 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 like that. And when you heard that, you rushed to the phone because you knew one of your neighbors was in dire straits. And no matter what you were doing, and no matter how little you may have cared about that person, because farm people, everybody else, they don't all get along. You rushed to that person's place because you knew that person was in trouble and needed your help. Our ring was a long and three shorts, and that's what differentiated people. They knew when it was their ring that the phone was for them, but everybody else went to the phone as well. One ring in particular, three shorts, ding, ding, ding. Whenever that came in, we knew that there was something important for us to hear. If not important, at least juicy. Because this family had a wonderful reputation. When they first moved in, the farm had been vacant for a while. And then we heard it had been purchased. We all gathered at this house and we all brought something to eat. We all sat around the table and we discovered that they had five boys. But we also discovered these kids could cuss. I mean, these kids were the best cussers. They knew cuss words we'd never heard before. I mean, they could string together cuss words in such an eloquent fashion that we couldn't help but just be, it's just marvel. My mother was sitting off to the side, being the good Christian woman that she was. I could see she was not taking all this in too well. And in fact, she'd whisper, I heard her say to my dad, we gotta go home, this is not a good place to be. By the way, when we were traveling home, my mother said, I don't want you boys, meaning my brothers and me, I don't want you ever associating with those boys again. And my dad said, listen, Eleanor, they're going to associate with those boys. We're going to associate with them because they are our neighbors. That's very important to remember. As different as they were, as unusual as they were, and maybe as sort of raw and rough as they were still our neighbors. I had such a wonderful experience in sociology as a kid without ever realizing it. Because in our community, we had Welsh families, the Davies, we had German families, the Hendricks, we had Bohemian families from Czechoslovakia, the Koltas, Polish families, the Swindrzyńskis and the Hudzioks, and we had English people, the Jenkses, all of us assembled together. We seldom talked about religion because we had Methodists, we had Lutherans, we had Presbyterians, we had Catholics, and we had a bunch of not belonging to anything, all working together, living together, farming together, and tell you the truth, having a wonderful time together, as you think about it. It was just a fascinating time on the farm in those days.